Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Crosspoint Church.
I love that. And I'm guessing we've all probably watched our fair share of movies the past few weeks. And my favorite are the action movies, especially the sports ones. So I want you to think right now, what are your top five favorite sports movies? Mine? Thanks for asking. Mine are Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, and Rocky 5. And I'm just kidding, kind of, because I do love some Italian Stallion. And I like watching boxing, but I'm not much for doing it, because I don't like getting hit in the face. And I've got a big head, which automatically puts me at a disadvantage. But you know what? I've always admired the strength and the courage that it takes for them to get in the ring. ESPN says that it's the most physically demanding sport, and MMA is right up there with it. It's why today we're at Training Camp, an East Nashville fitness facility where normal people like you and me can come in and work out, but it's also a place where world-class MMA athletes train. And being here, the team had an idea. They're like, what if, to show how difficult the sport is, what if I went one round with an MMA fighter just to see what would happen? You want to see? Of course you do. Me too. It's just that social distancing protocol wouldn't allow it. I know. I am disappointed too. Literally 6 feet of separation just saved my life. But it takes courage, right? It takes courage to get into the ring. But then again, it takes courage to do anything that matters. It takes courage to do the right thing. It takes courage to have a hard conversation. It takes courage to admit when you were wrong. It takes courage to turn around and go back and say you were sorry. It takes courage to pray out loud. It takes courage to share your faith. It takes courage to stand up to injustice. It takes courage to make hard calls. It takes courage to put yourself out there as an artist. It takes courage to open up and trust again. You know, these days, it takes courage just to go to the grocery store. See, courage looks different for everybody. And for some, it takes courage just to get out of bed. Whenever there's fear, there's an opportunity for courage. See, courage is not the absence of fear. It's feeling the fear and still taking action, still taking that next step. And one thing I love about the Bible is how oftentimes the people that God chooses aren't the fearless ones. They're the people who struggle with fear and worry and anxiety like you and me. God takes a fearful person, he calls them to himself, and then he asks them to do something that's bigger than them, bigger than what they could do on their own, and he gives them the courage to take the next step. And that word courage, in the root, in the Latin, it means heart. The word means heart. See, when you encourage somebody, you're literally putting heart into them. That's why some people, like after you talk with them, you leave feeling bigger on the inside. And then there's other people, after you talk with them, you just feel drained. Like they sucked the life out of you. It's because they discouraged you. They robbed you of courage. They robbed you of heart. And we're all in a battle right now. And so you need people who are in your corner, who are encouraging you. You need somebody that would encourage you. And listen, we want to be those kind of people for you. So if you're watching online and you need courage for something, you can comment in the chat. And if it's personal, like we want to encourage you, we want to pray for you, you can go to crosspoint.tv/everyone's welcome. And you can let us know about it there. And we would love to pray for you. We would love to encourage you in this time. And our hope would be to pray for and encourage you, to be people in your corner who would encourage you. And we need those people, just like Rocky needed Mickey, just like Mickey was in the corner. You knew this, Rocco. Like he had Mickey encouraging him. You need people who are encouraging you because encouragement is fuel for the fight. And we can't get enough of it. Listen, in all my years pastoring, I've never had somebody tell me, if you could just hold off on the encouragement, I've had enough, because we can't get enough encouragement. When you're in a battle, one word of encouragement at the right time can be everything you need to get up and keep fighting. And there's nothing like when God encourages you. Have you ever been reading the scriptures and a verse just jumps out and inspires you? Have you ever listened to a message that had you so fired up, you're ready to run through a wall? Have you ever received a text from a friend that you're like, that was the right word for me. It was a powerful word for me. And you knew that God somehow gave you what you needed through them. See, listen, God loves you, and He knows exactly what you need and when you need it. And I believe that God wants us to live encouraged. I believe that today God wants to encourage you. I believe He wants to encourage us through a story found in Joshua chapter 1. So if you got a Bible handy, you can turn there with me. We're gonna look at the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1 together. Let's read together. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, or Lebanon, however you want to say it, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I want you to notice in that passage how God repeats Himself. Like He says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong. Is it? Why does God say it 3 times? Why does God repeat Himself? Why, as parents, do we repeat ourselves? Because our kids need to hear it. But Joshua needs to hear it. Why? Because he's afraid. See, if he didn't struggle with fear, God wouldn't have to say it. He wouldn't have to say it 3 times. Why is Joshua afraid? He's afraid because God's called him to lead. And what's the first thing God says to Joshua? He says, the Lord says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. The first thing God says to Joshua is something he already knew. Joshua already knew that, but God said it. Moses had been dead for a month. Numbers chapter 34 tells us that the people grieved Moses' death for 30 days in the valley of Moab. Listen, God loves us so much that He gives us time and space to grieve. A while back, I was preaching at my grandmother's funeral, and right before the message, I got emotional, got choked up, and a pastor came up to me, pulled me aside, and he said, son, this is just a time when you shove it down and you deal with it later. And I'm like, nope. That's terrible advice. Because listen, when you shove something down, you don't get to choose when it comes out. Like, when we experience loss, we need to grieve. I've talked with many of you, and you've experienced significant loss over the past month. You've lost loved ones, and you've lost businesses, and you've lost finance, and you've lost dreams and plans and graduations and weddings. And some of you, you're still recovering from losses from the tornado. That's a lot of loss in the past 30 days. And God loves us so much that He gives us space to grieve, but He loves us too much to let us live in denial. Joshua, Moses is dead. You have to embrace reality. You can't go back. You can only go forward. Listen, if you want to take new territory in your life, you got to face reality. You can't pretend or live in denial. You can't live in denial about the past, denial about what's happened, denial about addiction, denial about these destructive patterns in relationships. You can't live in denial about old habits. It takes courage to get honest with God, to get honest with yourself, and honest with other people. It takes courage to take the next step and get help. It's why this book, I believe this book is so important for us right now. And Joshua is leading the people into the promised land, and God has a promised land for us. Our promised land isn't physical territory. It's a spiritual reality. It's not land out there. It's real estate in our heart and in our mind. See, what holds us back from living the life that God has for us is fear. See, fear is one of the favorite weapons of the enemy. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a sound mind. And this verse teaches us that when we face this tsunami, this wave of fear, that it didn't come from heaven, it didn't come from God. And Joshua's hit with this wave of fear because he's the leader now. And if you've ever led anything, if you've ever led a project, if you've ever led a team, ever led a department, ever led a business, if you ever led ministry, if you've ever led anything, like if you ever led a family, you know You know, there's fear. Like, fear can come along with that. We got fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown, fear of Zoom calls. There's all kind of fear out there. And really, there's all kind of fear in here, which makes me think that most of our fear comes from the hardest person that we have to lead. I want you to think about who is the most difficult person that you have to lead right now. Don't point if they're in the room. The most difficult, unless you're pointing at yourself, because the most difficult person that you have to lead is you, because you're with you all the time and you know all the fears that are in your head. And fear is this normal struggle in life, but especially at a time like this. There was one psychologist that said that fear is at an all-time high because this pandemic, it taps into the four dominant fears that we have as human beings. She said these four fears are groundlessness, isolation, identity, and death. Groundlessness is this loss of control. It's where nothing is predictable and where everything has changed. Imagine like waking up in the middle of the night and walking to the kitchen in the dark and somebody moves all the furniture. That's what groundlessness feels like. Nothing's the same. Isolation is this fear of being alone. Identity is this fear of rejection. And it's this fear that, you know what, if other people knew what was really going on in my heart, right? If other people knew the thoughts that I have, if other people knew that my struggles, they wouldn't receive me. They would reject me. That's fear with identity. And then the fear of death is the fear at the end of our lives. And what's interesting is these four fears, they're not new. They're as old as humanity. They're the same fears Joshua faced. And what I want to do is I want to take a look at these nine verses, and I want to show you what I believe to be a mental map that God gives Joshua that enabled him to live with courage. And these three beliefs that built a framework for him to face an uncertain future, that'd be a gift for us together. And then after that, what I want to do is I want to circle back and I want to come back to these four primary fears, and I want to show you how to live with courage as you battle those fears. But first, three things Joshua believed. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. The first one is, God has a plan and I have a part to play. Would you say that with me? God has a plan and I have a part to play. Would you say that with more courage? I have a plan, God has a plan. Nope, said that wrong. God has a plan and I have a part to play. See, Joshua believed that God had a plan. He drew courage from knowing that God was working his plan to get his people into the promised land. And right now, God is working his plan. His plan is that we would know him and we would make him known. His plan is to reconcile all things to himself through Christ. And listen, we have a part to play. I don't know if you remember, but last week I talked about breaking my nose in football. And I remember in ninth grade, I wanted to play varsity so bad. I was 5'5", and I weighed 125 pounds. So I had no business being on the field, but I wanted to play. And this is where I would love to tell you that they called me in at the end of the game like Rudy, and I scored the touchdown that won the championship. No. Coach said that I could play left out. He said I could play right side of the bench, right? I mean, they had a game plan, but I wasn't part of it. And God has a plan. And you are a part of it. Listen, if you sit the bench in the kingdom of God, it's not because God put you there, it's because you chose to be. And fear is what holds us back. Like, we're afraid, what are other people gonna think? We're afraid that we don't know enough, that we don't have all the answers. We're afraid of what it might cost us. But God's plan is that we would know him and that we would make him known. And listen, the world has never been more aware of their need for God. It's never been easier to share it. I mean, think about it. Even when we don't need to. I heard this story last week. Keila, who hosts our 11 o'clock service online, thank you, Keila, for hosting, but she invited her mom to join the service. And her mom told her that she tried to join the service, but she accidentally started a watch party on Facebook. And so she said, I couldn't figure out how to stop it. So I just kept it going. And she reached her friends. And she said, I figured if I liked the service, then my friends would like it too. And listen, God is so secure in his sovereignty that he can take our mess ups and he can use it for his glory. There's a part for you to play. And we pray about a lot of things like, God, where do you want me to work? And where do you want me to live? And where do you want me to go to college? And what do you want me to do with my life? But there are a lot of things that we don't have to pray about. We already know they're part of God's plan, like loving people and serving people and encouraging people and helping people and sharing our faith. And the more we give ourselves to the revealed will of God, the things that we do know, the more God just unfolds the things that we don't know. See, his reward for obedience is revelation. He reveals those things to us. He reveals the next step. And I know some people who think that they've screwed up so bad, that they've made a mess of things so bad, that they've missed God's plan for their life. But I love how Lisa Brevere, she said it. She said, if you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this, you're not that powerful. That's good. See, God has a plan and you have a part to play. The second thing Joshua believed is that God always keeps his promises. Now, by show of hands, a little interactive, how many of you, and if you can comment in the chat, you can just raise a little emoji hand right up there. All right, but how many of you have ever said one thing and done another? Okay. How many of you have ever made a promise that you couldn't keep? Okay. How many of you have ever told a lie? Okay. If you didn't raise your hand on that last question, you have now. So welcome to the club, right? God has never made a promise that he couldn't keep. He's never made a promise that he didn't keep. He always keeps his word. People will break their promises. He's not a man that he should lie. And when somebody breaks a promise, it breaks heart. You lose courage. Fear sweeps in over you and you wonder, who can I trust? But when somebody keeps their word and they do it consistently over time, it builds trust. Like it just builds, it builds courage. You know, you can depend on them. You have a history with that person. Joshua had a history with God. And when you're in battle, you need to know what voices to listen to. But Rocky knew Mickey's voice because Rocky trained with Mickey over time. And over time, he learned his voice. And over time, he could pick out his voice. He trusted him. And when the crowd was yelling and the enemy was taunting and he was exhausted, he could pick out the words that he could rely on, the words he could depend on. It's why God tells Joshua, keep the book of the law. Keep my words always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night in your heart. Keep my words in your heart, because when things are uncertain and when things are shaky and when things are momentary, you need a promise to hold to that is certain and that is unshakable and that is eternal. You need a promise that you can hold to. And do you know what the most frequent promise of the Bible is? I am with you. Which leads us to number three. Joshua had courage to face the future because he believed God is always with me. Now, imagine when he heard those words. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. In the same way you saw me meet with Moses, you saw me speak to Moses, you saw me work in Moses, you saw me work through Moses. In that same way, I'll be with you. Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you screw up, even if you mess up, even if you fail miserably, even if you make a mess of things, make a fool of yourself. Joshua, I'm not going anywhere. I am with you. And imagine, like, how you would live if you knew God was with you all the time. Mike Chandler owns a gym, and he's a champion in the MMA. And I was thinking about, man, when I was in sixth grade and Randy McCullough was picking on me, I mean, Randy was twice my size. But I think about it, if I could have had a man like Mike Chandler go to school with me and sit next to me in class, like, the thing that terrified me wouldn't scare me anymore. And God says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you, Joshua. And as God was with Joshua, he'll be with you. Man, how would you live differently if you truly believe God is with you? The all-powerful God of creation with you. I'll be with you. It's the promise God gave to Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David and Amos and Mary and Paul. And when Jesus comes, they call him Emmanuel, God with us. And the last thing he says is, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. In other words, I got a plan and you got a part to play. And then he says, and I am with you always, even to the what? Even to the end of the age. Jesus promises his presence and he gives that promise to you. And man, some people are like, is this the end of the age? I don't know, but I'm not worried because I know that he's with me. And the moment you put your trust in Jesus, he's with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise, and he doesn't break a promise. And I believe that God is raising up right now. I believe he's raising up a Joshua generation. A people young and old who would believe that even in a pandemic, God is working, God is moving, that a pandemic can't stop a move of God. I believe that he has a plan, a generation that believes that they have a part to play, a generation that believes that God keeps his promises, a generation that believes that God is with them, a generation that receives courage from God and gives courage to the world around us. And when I think of courage, it makes me think of my friend Jonathan. I met him a few weeks back, and after he shared his story with me, and it was so good, I want to take a moment and let you hear it from him.
So I'm Jonathan. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, a little south of there called Trenton. I moved to Nashville 3 years ago, and Nashville is now what I love and get to call home. I recently, upon this pandemic, was invited out to New York City by a friend to come help out on the, behind the front lines with all the nurses. And after, going back and forth about that for 3 weeks, I left everything to come out here and play my part and my role. From there, once I made that decision, I actually, an hour later, contacted Kevin because I wanted to be baptized. I couldn't miss out on that. I didn't want to go anywhere else or a step forward without making that known publicly. God has always been a part of my life. He's always been right there next to me, but I've never felt more of God than in the past year. And this past year has been a really tough year, especially 1 year ago from last week would be the passing of my dad. To me, to come out here, I had to leave everything. I had to give my job, resign, tell them I'm going to New York City to help out, and I don't know when I was going to be back. And I had to, that part really was hard for me to decide because there's really just no certainties out here. It took about one day of me being out here, made me realize like this is where I was supposed to be. Like I was meant to be here to make things better and help in the ways I could. It only took one day for me to realize that. Right now I'm currently helping the nurses get to their hospitals, get home from their hospitals, getting them the help that they need to, whether they need a counselor to speak with of things that are happening. What I do is, I came out here, the courage it took is just to pray and realize everything's gonna be fine. It always has. God's made everything fine up until now, so why would that? We have no reason to doubt that, and I don't. It's going to be fine, and it takes courage to stay home and realize, even when it's not directly around you, it takes courage to realize it could be. And stay home is not something easy to do, especially for this long of a time. It takes courage for all of this to get better. I'm loving to watch how God is moving everywhere in the world right now. I'm excited to, for everything to get better and keep getting better so I can get back to Nashville and my Cross Point team.
That's courage. I'm not gonna lie, there was a little bit of courage required in that from me. There are a few things that I'll break social distancing protocol for. Baptism's one of them. And there was a lot of chlorine in the water, so I think we're okay. But fear is contagious. You know what else is contagious? Courage. And our world needs courage right now, because our world is battling those four primary fears: groundlessness, isolation, identity, and death. And God has given us truth to hold on to. If you fear groundlessness, that everything's changed and nothing has stayed the same, God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll give you every place you put your foot. I want you to feel grounded, so I'm giving you the ground. You can't give what you don't own. God's saying, I own the ground in front of you. Before you step, I'm already there. The future belongs to me. God welcomes us and he calls us. Go ahead, take a step. I'll be with you. If you fear isolation, God says, I will never leave you. You can't get away from me. You might be in an apartment all by yourself. You may feel lonely, but the truth is you're never alone. You may fear identity, meaning that you fear that if people really knew the real you, if they knew the stuff you're struggling right now, that they'd reject you. And God said, I know you. I know every thought. I know every hidden thing that you've done. I know every private mode move you've ever made. I know you the best, and I love you the most. I'll never forsake you. Come to me. I'll forgive you. I'll make you whole. And to a world that fears death, God said, I made a way for you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you'll live forever. Even though you die, you'll live. Trust in me. I'll get you across the Jordan and into the promised land forever. And see, God knew our four greatest fears. That's why he gave us Jesus, so that we could be strong and courageous. And if today, if you want to receive the greatest blessing in life, the blessing of a relationship with Jesus, I'd love to help you do that. In fact, I would love to take a moment and pray with you. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you pray this prayer with me, I want to ask that you would take a moment today and you would text the word life to 615-270-2428. And we'd love to encourage you. So we're going to post that up on the screen, and we'll post it up in the chat, and you can text us and let us know about the prayer, but let me lead you in this prayer. You saying, God, I want to give you my life. I want to receive a relationship with you. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus. And thank you for the life that you've promised. And so right now, I put my faith in you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. And I receive your forgiveness. I ask that your spirit would come and live in me and give me courage. I pray that you would teach me how to live life with you and to know that you're with me all the time. Thank you for the promise that I'll be with you forever. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now listen, if you made that your prayer today, like, we want to hear about it. So do us a favor and let us know. Listen, if there's anything we can pray for you about, you can go to crosspoint.tv. Everyone's welcome, and you can hit us up there. But we want you to know we're in your corner, and we can't wait to see you next week for Battles and Blessings.